We're changing lives. We're saving lives. We're helping people grow. We're making a difference. When it's all said and done, that is where the Lord has seen fit to call me to make my mark through Restore. And I am grateful for every moment of it.
This is the Addiction Recovery Podcast with Stephen T. Ginsberg, founder of Restore Detox Centers in sunny California. Enjoy your experience. Steve and I love our conversations when we're talking about saving lives. And it's not just this, you know, pie in the sky dream or just, you know, words that we throw around lightly, but literally, as you're running Restore in Poway, California, you are saving lives. The other day, you forwarded me a review from somebody. We'll keep their identity anonymous here, but talk a little bit about that review and what did they have to say? And let's get into what it's like to run a detox center like you're running right now.
Steve, thank you. I appreciate the topic. And yes, that was a very impactful moment. I screenshot it, sent it over to you. And just, you know, you see a mom reaching out, taking some time, writing a review about her daughter, and the long and short of it, explaining, you know, my daughter was at the end of a rope. The team comes in, Restore provides a place, it's safe, and my daughter's moving on with her life, and she's approaching 90 days of sobriety, and it happens because of the help and the support of the team and the people and the emphasis and the focus of a place like Restore. And no matter what else goes on, and so much does go on, and you certainly know a lot about it and have been exposed to a bunch of it. No matter what occurs, those moments are what make it all worthwhile, and those moments are what help you realize, you know, we are here fighting the good fight a day at a time and a person at a time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you sent me over the text, I was like, yes, this is exactly why you get out of bed every day. This is exactly why you put up all the phone calls and all the other headaches and hassles. It's not like you ever look at your clients or community members as a hassle. I'm not saying that, but look, let's just be honest with each other. There's a lot that goes into running a detox center. I mean, there's just drama and there's issues and there's just a ton of things, and the stakes are extremely high.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's life and death. And you start to realize and you start to fall back on, hey, this is what I signed up for and this is what I'm equipped for. And then you start to rely, for me, I rely on my program of sobriety and understanding that I'm right where I'm supposed to be and that I've got to continue to provide the solution. And look, if it was easy, everyone would do it. It's not for the meek or faint of heart, and it's a rodeo, but it's exciting and you're never bored and it's never the same day twice, and people's lives are depending on providing the solution. So you've got that willingness to come alongside them and support them in the solution.
Sure. And I agree. I mean, look, in my job, you know, I've been a CFO before of companies, and it feels like all the weight is on my shoulders sometimes when financial statements are in progress, but leaders need these financial statements. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm under so much pressure to deliver these financial statements and I just can't get them out the door because we're running into all these issues. And sure, it's like, yeah, we don't submit the financial statements and the banks, you know, don't like that if there's compliance issues or whatever. But at the end of the day, people aren't dying. With your job, you don't take the phone call. You don't facilitate the group. You don't have that conversation with somebody to get them admitted to Restore. They can die. Which is, I mean, crazy. I mean, that just seems like a lot of pressure. Share with me and share with the audience, what's it like to run a detox center and what kind of things stress you out? Or what is just the one thing that keeps you up at night?
So the most consistent thing that stresses me out, the thing that when I wake up at night and I do, first of all, I don't believe in laying in bed and trying to fall asleep on your own. That doesn't work for me. So I will grab my iPad and I will often start to read and start to look at things and start to look things up. And I like that. I've turned a negative into a positive. It is very hard for me when people don't realize how imperative it is that the solution that we promote and provide at Restore, well, we believe in 12-step programming. We believe in working a 12-step program. We believe in making sure people understand it's a disease, and a day at a time, they're granted a remission based on their footwork, and they must continue their footwork. It's when people don't really take hold of that, that we're treating, and they don't realize how high the stakes are, and they're not willing to do the footwork, that's what drives me, and that's what keeps me up, and that's what's so imperative and important to me to continue to convey and get across, least of all which on those 3 days a week where I am able to do group, I want to make sure I do not miss the mark in re-examining the solution and the hope behind the solution.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and it's interesting that you say that. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was talking about how we mistakenly believe that we have control over things. Like we want to have control over our businesses. We want to have control over our kids and so on and so forth. And for me, I'm not like a controlling person where I try to manipulate people or control people to do certain things. Not that at all. But oftentimes I find comfort in controlling my schedule. For an example, when I schedule everything out and I can look on my calendar for the day and it's really pretty and blocks of time. And I'm like, hey, now I know how my day is going to go down. But the reality is, you never know when the next thing's going to pop up and it completely wipes out your planned day. And I think the same thing is true with business. I mean, you may think you're in control of your business, but look, we're all one disruption away from being out of business. Consumer behavior can shift. Social trends can shift. There can be a war. The economy can go bust, whatever it may be, and your business is totally obsolete. So in life, I think we oftentimes have this misbelief that we're in control of things, but really it comes down to influence. So let's talk about that here for a minute. The difference between control and influence, because with you, you can't control these people's lives. You can't control whether or not they're leaving Restore and they're going to stay sober, but you do have an incredible influence over them. Talk to me a little bit about that. And how do you think about that in your head? Because I'm sure in a perfect world, you would love to probably just control them. Like put your arms around them, hug them, say, I love you. Like stay sober. You know, like I want to force you to do this 100%. Because I love you and I care about you. But in reality, you only have influence. Share your thoughts on that.
So really, I really love what you just brought up. And I'm really grateful you brought it up because I like talking about this from this standpoint. Here's where I believe I feel called, where we can separate ourselves and where Restore can separate itself. The person we're treating, we have an ability to be a part of their family's lives too. We have the ability to be a part of their loved ones' lives as well. We have the ability to reach out and follow up. We have the ability to invite them back as alumni. We have the ability to welcome them back with open, loving, nurturing arms if they have a relapse. And not just say we care, but show we care through actions and deeds, not words. And that's where we start to set the bar. We earn that right. I want to earn the right to my ask. And here's my ask. Don't let this disease kill you. Allow me to earn the right to ask you to not let this disease kill you.
Yeah. Well, and I love what you said about actions versus words. I mean, that, you know, my wife loves to remind me of that because she's definitely like, hey, Steve, don't just tell me that you love me. Show me that you love me. And I'm like, okay, got it. Okay. I got to be better with my actions and aligning my actions with words. And this isn't to poo-poo on other facilities. Look, we're all in the same business of saving lives. But I would say, I mean, we all know what it feels like to go to a doctor's office or go to, you know, some other organization and you're just another number. I mean, who doesn't like to walk into the restaurant and they're like, oh, hey, Steven, you want the usual? With, you know, mustard and spicy pickles or whatever your fancy is. When we are recognized like that, and when those words are backed by actions, I mean, it's huge. And I agree. Like Restore, you go to Restore's website, restoredetoxcenters.com, and you read the messaging on the website. This isn't just a bunch of garbage that we throw up to try to attract people to the facility. These are words that are carefully chosen because we want to understand who we're dealing with, individuals with addiction issues and families who have loved ones who are struggling with addiction.
Absolutely.
And I agree with you 100%. And I've seen it in action just by being at group at the house. Like you back your words up with the actions and with your giant heart.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And that's where to answer your question. And it's a great question. It's actually a satisfying question to answer because it lends itself to what we believe in the culture and what we do at Restore. And we're never disparaging another facility. It's just, look, I'm grateful we're a six bed. I'm grateful. I could tell you about everything, about every single person we are treating right now. I praise God that that's what I was called to and for, and I believe in that, and it's what's needed to overcome this disease. It's cunning, baffling, and powerful. It's insidious. It's an opportunistic infection. Unless we meet all that with everything we've got collectively, where we're focused on the individual and the result, there's no hope.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, look, when I turn around and build companies, that's what I do for a living at Cultivar, in case you're wondering and listening. When I'm helping organizations and I can go into their business and I know their business, I pick up the phone and I say, hey, Tom, how's it going? Hey, did you ever close that deal on XYZ project? And how's Susan? Is she performing better? I know you had a review with her last week. Like, what's the follow up on that? They're like, oh my gosh, seriously, Steve, you totally care. Right.
Yep.
And
Absolutely.
I think the same thing is true in your business. If I was to send my precious son or daughter to get help, I don't want to send them to a facility where they're going to be another number, because here's my personal opinion, Stephen, and you could agree or disagree. I believe love heals. And I don't just say that to be trite. Really, let's just say you're struggling. You're in this dark, deep abyss. You're depressed. You don't even know if you want to live anymore. And you go to a facility and you're just given your number, you're given your room, and it's like, hey, we got programming here at this time and that time, and we'll help you out along the way, versus you walk in and the facility is like metaphorically and literally opening their arms to you, like hugging you, being there for you and helping you to heal. I just feel like that love can transform lives way more than some like expert program or whatever it may be. Like, obviously you got to work the program. I'm not saying anything about that. I just think love makes all the difference.
Huge difference. And it's got to be the foundation. And we want the foundation poured in stone, not set in sand. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, I like that. So, Stephen, I know we have conversations where days you're just exhausted, because your heart's into it, your mind's into it. There's just a lot that goes into the business, but why do you do this every single day? Because I know there's struggles. I mean, not just from like, I mean, just administratively running a business, doing the billing, dealing with insurance companies, but then also you have, community members that are struggling, they have their issues. There's parents that are concerned, and it's just like, you're constantly connected. So talk a little bit about that, Stephen. Like, why do you keep doing this?
I unequivocally, and thank you, it's another great question that I'm happy to answer. I feel the entire reason why I am sober, I feel the entire reason why I was saved, was everything that led up to this point, to where we opened Restore and we started focusing full-time on Restore. And Restore is coming up on 7 years. And that's pretty good. Like, praise the Lord, there's a lot of places that don't last for 7 months, let alone 7 years. And here we are going into our seventh year of operation, and we've treated tens of thousands of people. And we have, some of those people are now team members, and many of those people are in long-term sobriety. And I feel like I was saved, and I feel like I am sober for this calling specifically. And this was the plan all along. And it is not my place to question the plan. My place is to contribute to the plan as it has been presented. And this is the plan, and that's what keeps me going. And I only have to keep going, just like my recovery, Steve. I only have to keep going a day at a time.
Yep.
And the days add up. And that's the beauty. And some days are tough. Some days are great. Some days are just Switzerland. Like, it's all just fine. It's neutral.
Right.
But it's all good, and it's all for the better good. And we're changing lives. We're saving lives. We're helping people grow. We're making a difference. And at the end of the day, that's what, when it's all said and done, and I am a dust in the wind, that is where the Lord has seen fit to call me to make my mark through Restore. And I am grateful for every moment of it.
Yeah, and I know. And I think there's insanity in both of us. We're both a little crazy because we chose entrepreneurship and we went down this route. We could be doing so many different things with our lives, but I think it just speaks to, where your heart is. And it's a testament to your journey and your path and how you're committed to saving lives. So, Stephen, you're doing amazing work out there. And for everybody who's listening, I'll just say this to build up Stephen. He's fine without me, but I share it with you because more people need to hear this story. So the biggest compliment you could pay to us is when you're listening to this podcast, if there's somebody you think can benefit from it, just share it. Just share it, tweet it, put it on social media, text it, whatever you may do. The more people that get to hear about, you know, this story and what we're trying to do at Restore, the more lives are going to be improved. So thanks for being such an incredible member of our audience and just for supporting us and tapping into the show. We really appreciate it.
Amen. Steve, thank you for your part. As always, we're focusing on the importance and the imperativeness of the solution. And if you are out there and you are struggling, we are here with you and for you in all things. And have a sober and safe rest of your day.